The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Medical Mutual wants to remind you it's almost time for Medicare's annual enrollment period. As a trusted health insurer for more than 90 years, Medical Mutual is here to help you find better Medicare benefits. Be confident you're getting the most from your Medicare Advantage plan. Schedule your free Medicare plan review today at medmutual.com/review. Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.
A civilized suburban society is not going to start eating each other.
Correct.
But an uncivilized Haitian society did start eating each other. And so, like, you have to say, otherwise it's a crazy thing, that a civilized American culture is at least in some way superior
it's
to the culture
to...
where it's okay to eat a human being. Right. It has to be true. Like, otherwise, it's insane. And so, like, if we start there, we admit that that culture is, in some way, eating people is bad. Then there are things in cultures that make some cultures superior to others.
Welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast performing transgender surgery on illegal aliens in prison. It's your boy, Ethan.
And I'm Patrick, and if you didn't mind that joke, welcome.
If you've already shut off the podcast, good riddance. We don't want
Goodbye. But well, if you're a person who likes talking about Catholic topics and not taking things too seriously, you've come to the right place. Ethan, did you see my I got caught in 4K by Ascension Press on X the Everything app today?
No, I didn't see this. I will look post haste.
Our good friend Amber Rose, the religious hippie, said here's some good resources for Catholic faith formation, any others? And I said, the Crunch Podcast, we are the faith formation leader. And Ascension Press replied, hey, that sounds familiar. And I was like, please don't put me in jail, Father Mike.
Is that their...
I don't want them to perform transgender surgeries on me in jail, Father Mike.
They're going to mistake you for an illegal immigrant.
Please. My beautiful porcelain skin.
It's funny the implication that just if you are an illegal immigrant in jail that you have to get transgender surgery.
They do it to you whether you want it or not. That's how they punish you. It's beyond cruel and unusual punishment.
Yeah. Is that their tagline, like the leader in faith formation?
Yeah, they are the faith formation leader. If you open the Ascension app,
which I do daily.
If you open Ascension, the Everything app, it says it right there, the faith formation leader. It's the box.
I'm going to do one of those reels where someone is like looking something up and they have to close a bunch of tabs that are incriminating or like funny. And I'm just going to have all of the Exodus 90, the Halo, I don't know what the punchline is, but I want to have all the prayer apps open to indicate how ridiculous it is to have more than one. You pick your lane, right? You can either be an Ascension guy, Ascension BF, Halo GF.
That's what I'm trying to be.
You know,
my strat recently, and this is something that I've just been doing, and it's been nice, is I've just been listening to the entirety of a book of the Bible just in a row and not stopping, just going through the whole thing, just so I get a lay of the land, and then when it's done, start over, go through.
You start over?
Yeah.
You just read the same book over and over again?
Mm-hmm. I've done it with the book of Isaiah. I've gone through it in the past week. I've gone through Isaiah 3 times. And it's been great. I like feel like I know more of the things that are going on in Isaiah. They're familiar and they're like sticking in my brain more. So
the other day I watched the Bourne Ultimatum 3 times. And that is really sticking in my head as well. Much like Jason's Bourne Identity sticks in his head at the end of the film when his amnesia is finally released.
I just figured, I was like, okay, I spent high school and a good portion of college just like having The Office on or like a sitcom on in the background. Mm-hmm. So to the point where like I can basically tell you, if you ask me an event in the office, I can tell you what season it took place in.
Sure.
At the very least, the season. And I was like, well, if I did that with The Office, I just had it on in the background all the time, and I absorbed the information that way, can I not do that with God's holy writ? Perhaps.
Per another hap, what was the episode where they cooked Kevin's dog in a pot of stew and he spilled it all over and he cried?
Dude, I was watching an episode of The Office today, and it was the Diversity Day episode. Do you remember the Diversity Day episode?
This is like an early one, right? Where they're they have the things on their foreheads.
Yeah. And Michael goes up to Kelly and does like an Indian accent and is like, "Welcome to my convenience store. Try my Googie Googie." And she like slaps him. And I was like, I can't believe that in 2009, the most offensive thing that you could say about an Indian was they have funny sounding foods and own a small business. Like,
that's true.
That's things what have racism gotten... was in the 2000s. Yeah. And we just, it's gotten worse.
Ever since social media came out, we as a race have min-maxed racism. We've gotten as far and as we can, as fast as we can.
Oh my gosh. And AI hasn't helped, you know?
Oh, man. But you can't ask the AI to be racist anymore.
Not because of woke. You can't
because of woke. We can't make our computers. We tried. A lot of people tried, actually, to make the computers racist. And then Elon came through. And now you can generate images of Donald Trump holding cats running away from Haitians, which a lot of people seem to like. A lot of people seem to not like. I'm ambivalent on the issue because all I know is what he said from the debate when he said, "They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats." Which is, it's nice every once in a while to get a vintage moment from him. You know, there's going to be less and less. There's going to be less and less as time goes on because he's just getting older. He doesn't have it anymore. Everyone knows he doesn't have it anymore. But just in front of the whole country, they're eating the dogs. It's just great. It's really, really good.
Oh,
when he was talking about the guy from the Taliban.
I didn't watch the debate. No,
dude, there's this moment where he's talking about the leader of the Taliban. Abdul, he says to me, "Why are you sending me a picture of my house?" I said, "You're going to have to figure that out, Abdul. You're going to have to figure it out."
He's threatening the leader of the Taliban by just sending him a picture of his house.
Yes. Awesome. You're going to have to figure that one out. So there were a few moments, and then he hit Kamala with the Uno reverse card, the I'm speaking moment. That was great too.
I couldn't
but the rest of
that
it,
one.
Yeah, the rest of it was.
I knew she wasn't going to say it. I knew she wasn't going to say it because like she obviously it was a meme beforehand, so she got coached. Right. You know, like any idiot would know not to say it. But him, I didn't think he was going to say it.
He did. That was great. It was funny. Mm-hmm. He kind of lingered on it too. He said, "Excuse me, I'm speaking. Does that sound familiar?"
I know. It's like just so the average American would catch it.
Yeah.
That's so good. I'm happy that we haven't even had discussions about who won the debate, because I'm glad that we as a nation have accepted that's just not, it's not possible to win.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Yeah.
And even if you do win, it's like, what does that get you? You know?
More votes?
Yeah. Probably. Well, and even if you lose, sometimes they just make up votes to give to you if they want you to win. So
yeah,
it's like, why even try? You know, you were talking about the Bible. I agree. I do think you should listen to the Bible. Are you doing Father Mike? Is that your jam? Do you have a different audiobook that's the Dewey Rames, and it's voiced by a Russian hermit that lives in a hut on an island in a mountainous region?
I've been using the Ascension Bible app because you can just get the Bible read by Father Mike for free through on the Bible app.
What?
Which is cool. The Ascension
app. The question I asked you, is are you doing Father Mike reading the Bible?
Oh, I thought you meant the Bible in a Year podcast.
Is Father Mike's dulcet tones the ones that you're listening to?
It is Father Mike's dulcet tones, but it's not it's the audio from the podcast, but they cut it. And so you can just go to the Bible chapter, hit the verse, and you can start there, and it can start reading it from that verse.
You don't have to hear any of his editorializing?
No, you don't have to. But then like, I've also been... if I want a deeper dive, I can just go to the guide and it says, here's the episode of the podcast. And this is also all accessible in the free version of the app, by the way.
Are we sponsored this week? You got to stop it with this pub. This is crazy. We've passed the line of casual conversation. We've moved into endorsement territory.
I know, but I'm just saying that this is not an endorsement because this is the free part of the app. I've gotten a lot of use out of the free portion of the app. Mm. I still have access to the premium version of the app from when we were sponsored.
We got access to the premium version of the app when we were sponsored.
We did, yeah, for a year. What? And it runs.
I gotta read the emails.
Yeah. But I've been reading that. But I went through it was because we were talking about the theology of history, and I was like, I don't really know what happened during the exile. I should dive deeper into that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went through 2 Kings, which is where the exile happens, and then I went through Isaiah, which is like right before the exile happens. So anyway, I've been liking it. I'm gonna go back through the I like 1 Samuel. When I started reading the Bible seriously when I was in high school, that was where I started, was 1 Samuel.
Why?
I don't know. I didn't want to start at the beginning. I just hopped in the middle.
You thought you would be cooler than everyone else? It's like all these other
No, I wanted to like Genesis. I wanted to know about King David because I kind of knew, like, okay, here's the Exodus. I knew the Exodus in Genesis, and I was like, okay, I looked up a SparkNotes summary on Joshua and Judges, and I was like, I'll just go into the king.
Joshua's electric. It's sad really? That you skipped Joshua. Joshua's a great book. What are you talking about?
You like Joshua?
Joshua, I feel like Joshua and Judges together are the most action-packed for a young boy to read.
Oh yeah,
you know, because it's a lot of like we're gonna fight to win the Holy Land, and then we're gonna kill each other a whole bunch because we've strayed from God's light, and it's kind of cool, you know. In Samuel, it's like, oh, I guess I'll be the king, whatever.
There's war in Samuel.
Yeah,
they're fighting the Philistines. Like, David and Goliath is in 1 Samuel.
But then he cucks a guy, you know?
Does he?
Yeah, Uriah, the Hittite.
Oh, sure he does. Yeah, that's
with
sucks.
Bathsheba.
That's in 2 Samuel, though.
Oh, 2 Samuel. Sorry, I thought it was in 1 Samuel.
No.
And then there's that guy that's sleeping.
Samuel doesn't
like,
even make
God's
it
like,
to
wake
the
up, and the guy's like, I'm here. And he's like, it's not me, it's someone else.
That's
and you do it three times.
Did you know, fun fact, did you know that 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings used to be 1, 2, 3, and 4 Kings?
That's way cooler. Why don't we do it that
way? I know.
Way?
Why did we split it up? I don't understand. Who decided
Dude,
that?
Fourth,
because
4 Kings is electric because it is when the Kings ends, you know? So it's – and for,
but also,
it starts
like,
– that's a way better way to do it. I like that.
But also, Samuel doesn't make it.
Samuel's in like two parts. He's in,
Samuel. He
he's in 2 seconds.
Through, you know?
Yeah, it's he's not even the main like character.
We don't think that he wrote Samuel, so why? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4 Kings. Isn't that cool? I wish we could
speak
that.
Speaking of things that are strange. Trick, my website sucks.
It does, really? Wait, hold on. We've worked really hard on it. It took us ages and ages and ages to put it together. You're telling me that our website is bad?
Yes, we are but simple, humble parish workers, and we tried so hard, but we were so bad at it.
It's probably because I spent all my time studying theology and not digital graphic design.
It's probably because I spent all of my time browsing through WordPress plugins instead of actually making the website.
That'll do it. I have redone a parish website twice in my career. Because I was the youngest person on staff, I had to work on it. And most parish websites are clunky, poorly written, and horrible and difficult to navigate. And that's why our friend Dan at Briefcase Marketing is sponsoring our podcast to get the word out to you, parish worker, about how you guys can redo your website for a fraction of the cost of what it would cost you to get it done by like some firm that's not even Catholic. They don't even know about the church. Come on, get out of here.
Mm-hmm. And this isn't just parishes. This is any Catholic company that has an old or a cluttered website, or really any company at all. If you work at a small company, if you have a website, Dan at Briefcase Marketing can help you out. This would be a really overwhelming process, Patrick, but they make it really, really simple over at Briefcase Marketing.
Yes. Most companies that you contract to write a website for you will make you write out the whole website, all of this stuff. They're just making it look pretty. They're not doing any of the content. Dan will actually write the website for you so that you don't have to worry about what's going to convert, what needs to be above the fold. What does above the fold even mean? He takes care of all of that for you.
I send him photos of myself. I say, put this one on the website. Put that one on the website. Put this one on the website. Make this one a GIF. Turn me into, make it so that I'm dancing with Trump and Elon Musk AI. And he says, no problem. No problem. I'll include it on the website. Super easy to work with. Loves putting pictures of me on the website. So if that's your bag, he's got it.
Instead of staring at a blank sheet of paper and writing all of your content, he writes everything for you. So takes care of all of that. And if your company or ministry or parish needs a better website, he has a deal that the first three people to fill out our form on our website will get a free rewrite of the hero section of their website. It's the top part of the homepage, the most important part of your website. So the first three people, even if you don't go with them, even if you don't work with them, get a free rewrite of the hero section of your website. So fill out our form at thecrunchcast.com/briefcase. thecrunchcast.com/briefcase. Take it to a form, fill it out, and he'll rewrite the hero section for you. If you love it, he'll work with you. You're going to want to hire him immediately. He's a great guy. Check out his Google reviews. All of his Google reviews are from parish pastors or ministries he's worked with that have given him 5 stars all the way. So go check him out. That's thecrunchcast.com/briefcase.
thecrunchcast.com/briefcase. Thank you so much to Briefcase Marketing for sponsoring this episode of Putting Ethan on Your Parish Website. Do it now. Okay, goodbye. Do you know what I saw?
An AI-generated image of Donald Trump holding a duck and a cat running away from Haitian immigrants.
I did see that, but I saw a picture of good friend of the pod, James Donald Forbes McCann, with Shane Gillis and the entire cast of Stranger Things.
That's weird.
just like a very odd photo. It looks That's almost so Photoshopped, you know? Because you're like, oh, that's Shane, that's James. Okay, that makes sense. And then you see the Gaten Matarazzo, and then you see like all the attractive teenager people, and then it's just the whole line of like, where are we?
Bobby Brown, Bon Jovi.
Imagine James McCann in Stranger Things season 5.
He is the Demogorgon.
I don't think he would do too well.
As the Demogorgon?
He's coming to Tulsa, I found out, in a couple weeks. Yeah, I need to try to rally Emma to head over there and see him.
We have a pretty big venue in Melbourne called the King Center that pretty big acts come through and do, because it's like
swords
near
too
enough.
And knives or just axes.
Whatever. But it's been like there's some pretty big names have come through. It's close enough to Orlando, I guess, but far enough away for it to be a separate stop on a tour. I don't think it's a place where you stay overnight. It's more like we come and do the show and then leave. But like Jerry Seinfeld has performed at the King Center, and yeah, it's some pretty big names. I got to when we did a show there when I was in high school. We went back to their like green room where people had signed the walls, and I was like, "This is wild! I didn't know this wall existed in my hometown." It's like 5 minutes from where I went to high school, and it's this big, you know, theater. Wow. Yeah, it's weird. And so one of my hopes is that one day Shane and James will open for Shane at the King Center, and so I can go see them.
Dude, I would fly to come visit you for that.
I know.
That would be a vacation for me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we could open, but like not formally. Like we could just do a podcast outside of the venue.
I'm sure they'd love
it. While it's happening. I don't think they would. I think we would get escorted off very quickly.
James can stay at my house.
What's been going on? Tell me, I've been out of the loop, man. I was at a work trip this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all day, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m., hustling, grinding. It was kind of like a team retreat, you know, where we were doing strategic planning and sales philosophies. And so I just was lost in the sauce for many days, including but not limited to missing the bonus podcast recording. It does happen. But what's been going on? I saw a little bit about the Haitians. I saw a little bit about the debate. But that's as much as I don't have my finger on the pulse like I normally do.
Me either. I've kind of been off social media for a bit.
Why?
Because, I went back to work on Monday.
Oh, nice.
And I've just been busy. A lot of projects, a lot of things that I'm excited about personally that I'm working on. But nothing that's interesting for the podcast.
Can I tell you something that will be interesting just for the two of us?
Yes.
Did you know that Mark Royce lived in Trinity Hall?
No way. That's right. Wait, when did he go to Franciscan?
I don't know. It was years ago. It was after you were gone, I think. But he was only there for a semester.
That long ago.
It was during COVID. So I think it was after your time. Right. He told me some crazy stories that I'll have to tell you after the pod and not on the bonus show.
Guys, let me tell you, Trinity Hall is where it goes down.
Dude, that's some things that I was actually shocked. I was like,
Trinity
Hall. I could not believe it.
Trinity Hall is where it's the Island of Misfit Toys. It's where all the guys mm-hmm. who like, it's probably because the basketball team, but it's like all the guys who went to Franciscan for basketball mm-hmm. and not theology go. And then it's where all of the, households are that get put on suspension sometimes. Mm-hmm. And then it's also where the priestly discernment program was. So it was a very funny hall. Yeah. They moved them eventually, I think, for one mm-hmm. of those exact reasons. But it was funny because you have these guys that are like definitely sneaking girls into their room, definitely yes. smoking, definitely yes. drinking way too much. And then that's who you're dealing with on the third floor and the second floor. That's who you're dealing with on the second floor. And then in the basement, you have these little hermit awkward guys who come and they're like, can we check out the Nerf guns? And it's like, no, you're not allowed to check out the Nerf guns. In fact,
there's a library
you're no longer
for Nerf guns?
The priesthood. Go talk to a girl. You're not allowed to play.
There was like, yeah, could go check out a Nerf gun.
We had an arsenal of Nerf guns in the RA office. And that was actually one thing that during my first semester, my RD Ian and I, we were like, we're getting rid of this. We're going to become the movie dorm. And we're going to have like a bunch of films alphabetized mm-hmm. and like mm-hmm. system. Like you can come check out a movie. And
it's like the Criterion closet.
Yes. We had a very nice, whatever that means. We had a very nice theater. We had a couple of really nice theaters you could use. And so we wanted to become the movie. And I didn't want to be the hall where like the Nerf War hall. Come on.
I have so many thoughts about how awful it is.
You go downstairs and like these men who are discerning the priesthood are like down there like hiding behind their doors shooting each other with Nerf guns. And I'm like, guys, this is the worst way to play with guns.
Dude. Sometimes I think maybe I should have gone to Franciscan. But then I'm like, I'm so glad I didn't go.
No, but then on the third floor, you had the Guardians and they rocked. They were your kind of guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Were they the ones smoking weed and sneaking girls in? All right, then they weren't my guys then.
They were the guys wearing chacos and hammocking.
Oh.
No, that would have been you.
No, I don't.
Shut up.
I
you would have. They would.
No.
No, it would have been you because the girls loved that garbage. And so you would have done it. You would have done it. All right. I'm telling you right now.
No.
I've known you for 8 years. You would have been a guardian.
I just don't think that's true. I really don't. Every part of my self-identity has to believe that
now,
I would not have done that. Yeah.
Every part of your self-identity now. Yeah. But yeah. No, but we put a stop to the Nerf Wars. It was kind of cringy.
Yeah.
Because I was a sophomore, so I wasn't like much older than these guys, but I was like, mm-hmm. I feel like I'm 20 years older than you. Like, this is not something you should be doing. No hate to the priesthood discernment program, but I was like, the men that I'm going to call father are not going to be playing Nerf guns in my hall.
Better than other things they could be playing with in the priesthood discernment program.
Oh boy. Playing with women's hearts. That's what they were.
Yes, that's what I meant. That's what I meant for sure. What's anyway. So you don't know anything. You don't have your finger on the pulse. You don't have so we don't have anything to talk about. Basically,
we could talk about the
this
election.
This is the first podcast in 8 years where we have nothing.
We have something. There's got to be something.
Yeah, just got to mine that gold.
Oh wait, I did you hear my? I was on the radio. Did you hear about that?
No, what do you mean?
I was on the radio. I was on Ave Maria in the afternoon on EWTN.
Whoa.
A formerly like Al guys. Cresta, the Al Cresta show. It's his show, but he has since passed. Rest in peace. And so
I didn't even know he existed until 2 seconds ago. So
I know, it sucks, doesn't it? I didn't know until he died that he existed, but he was like, he was like the drive time Catholic radio guy, like your local Catholic radio station.
A proto Katie Prejean McGrady.
Yeah. She's now the queen of Catholic radio, but, she's not drive time. He was drive time. So, that he died and his show was taken over by a guy named Dr. Marcus Peter. And they DM'd me on Twitter and they were like, we want to talk about your recent piece on wokeism.
Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
Hello, it's me from the future. Well, in this podcast, I'm from the future, but for you listening, I'm from the past. And if this ad gets used again, I'm even more in the past. But I'm not in the future for the future me that's recording a future episode that this ad is in. But what I'm going to talk to you today about is the Consecrate America campaign. We just had the year of the 3 years of the Eucharistic Revival and the big National Eucharistic Congress. But Carmel Communications is on a mission to consecrate America to the Eucharist. So you can go to consecrateamerica.com. We're hoping that we get as many people as possible to sign a petition to the U.S. bishops to consecrate America to the Eucharist. As of right now, I'm looking at the page, 137,000 people have signed. They're aiming for 250,000. You head over to consecrateamerica.com. You can join the petition. Essentially, we believe that the people who believe in the Eucharist should continue to advocate for adoration, reverence in the liturgy. I mean, we can't just stop because the Congress happened and it's over now. It feels like it's over now. We have to keep going. And one of the ways that Carmel Communications is doing this, and they are petitioning the bishops to consecrate America to the Eucharist. 50 million American Catholics have left the Catholic faith in the past 30 years. It is time to stop seeking worldly solutions to spiritual problems. If we consecrate America, then we will be placing this into God's hands. We will be seeking out a spiritual solution to a spiritual problem. So head on over to consecrateamerica.com. Sign the petition today. I'd like to thank Carmel Communications for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch. Go to consecrateamerica.com. Sign the petition now. See you later. You had a piece on wokeism?
No, it was from 2022, but they wanted to talk to me about it. I know.
I was like, when did you write a piece? Is this a thread? I know.
Like, I got a piece for you right here. But I wrote a piece on wokeism, and they wanted to talk to me about it, and we had a pretty good conversation. It's it's on a podcast, so like you can they published it as a podcast, you can go listen to it. But it was funny because I went on, I did it, and then, like the next day I got like a text from my old youth minister and my friend's father-in-law, friend's father-in-law reached out, and I was like, oh cool, so like a bunch of like 50-year-old 60-year-old dads heard me on the radio. That's sweet.
Nice.
But yeah, they kept saying I was based in Pittsburgh, and my youth minister was like, did you move again? But I was like, it's an old, I never updated my blog website.
Yeah, when you gotta update. You gotta update your bio.
But yeah, we could talk about my recent piece on wokeism if you want.
I'm sure we talked about it 2 years ago when you.
Yeah,
wrote
but it's
it.
A whole new audience now. Nobody remembers that garbage. Nobody listens back then.
That's true. Tell me about your piece on wokeism.
It was surprisingly still relevant. So the title was called "Woke is Not an Ideology; It's an Aesthetic." So something that I hear people say a lot is like, oh, woke ideology. And it's not, there's no set of principles. And I think you can see that in stuff like the you know, Haitian immigrant debate, you know, like they're eating animals. It's like, it's not a set of principles that makes the woke left upset about the joke about, because someone made the joke like, oh, now all of a sudden the left is pro hunting. You know, it's not from a set of principles. It's a vibe. It's a feeling. They don't like feeling. They don't like feeling like they are anti the poor or the downtrodden.
Right.
And so the Catholic Church, in my opinion, needs to stop playing into the conservative liberal game and try to argue with this aesthetic from an ideological standpoint. You need to just confront it with a better a better aesthetic. You should confront it with a better lifestyle.
I was thinking about this, something similar. I was in the airport coming back from Chicago, and I was at the Midway, and my flight's delayed, of course. So I'm sitting there, I'm organizing my bookmarks on X, like you do in the airport when you've got nothing else to do. I'm creating folders.
You're not going to Nuts and Clark or whatever? Nuts on Clark?
Dude, I sat right next to the Nuts on Clark, and I was like, I feel bad for Clark. What did he do? And then I was thinking about Clark Griswold from the Family Vacation movies.
Yeah, man.
Played by Chevy Chase. And I was thinking about the guys that I hated the most in college were universally the guys that owned the Clark Griswold hockey jersey and would wear it.
I don't know what you're talking about. I've never saw
if a certain of there's a certain brand of Midwest guy that wears the Clark Griswold hockey jersey. Listeners may know, but he's almost always the worst kind of guy. And I feel bad if you're one of them, but maybe you could change my mind. Let me know in the Discord. Anyway, so I'm going through my tweets and I found one that I had saved from a long time ago, that it was someone saying that, similar to what you're talking about, it's more about self-identity. So even though the limit of wokeism, as you call it, or just kind of the progressive thoughts on gender, race, etc., continue to prove themselves to be ludicrous, people would rather still identify with the label than admit that they were wrong. It's mm-hmm. not, it's not, it's, it has nothing to do with reality. It has nothing to do with what is true or what someone's actual experience is. It has everything to do with, well, if I say that, okay, maybe this trans stuff has gone a little bit too far now that we're, you know, at this moment, or maybe the immigration thing has gone a little bit too far, then that means that like their whole personality from the last 15 years just gets ripped apart. And it's like, well, what even am I at that point? And people would rather continue to fake it, you know, or lie to themselves.
Oh yeah.
That everything's okay and it's getting better, than like admit it, you know, and be wrong and change.
I use this example on the radio. I hesitate to use this example on the podcast because I feel like more people on the podcast will disagree with me than on the radio.
Because the radio was a left-leaning audience.
Radio is a safe place. I was like, I know all the conservative dads out there will agree with me. But like, mm-hmm. I finally saw it in the wild of like a transgender man posting a mm-hmm. picture of himself wearing lipstick and a wig. And it's like very poorly done. And like, the wig is very fake and mm-hmm. the lipstick is smeared, and like someone underneath, oh my gosh, you're stunning. And I'm like, hey, he's got 5 o'clock shadow. It's like, there are standards of beauty. It's, you know, it's like the, and a man that a man cannot achieve. Mm-hmm. And it's like, they didn't like all my transgender analogies, but it was the one that was, you know, it was the one that made the most sense. It's also the most prevalent. They wanted to talk more about like economics, economic wokeism.
What does that even mean? And like, that sounds like something made up for drive time radio.
They wanted to talk.
About communism, so they were old.
Uh huh. And I was like, it's not communism. It's postmodernism. It's about dismantling structures, and so they're trying to. And so I switched it up, but I was like, communism is a fine example because you can see the effects of the communist, because mm-hmm. communism is an ideology, first of all. So we got to move on. The ideology of communism is not the point. The aesthetic of communism is the point. It's mm-hmm. why people wear Che Guevara t-shirts, but would never espouse what Che Guevara believed. You know, mm-hmm. it's not about the ideology of communism, it's about the aesthetic. But the problem with the aesthetic of communism, it's brutalist. It's no crops growing. It's like, that's the aesthetic of communism. That's the end point of
bread lines.
It's an elimination of beauty because beauty is classist. Mm-hmm. And so it's you have to force yourself to believe that ugliness is beauty, because if you admit that some things are more beautiful than others, you're admitting to a hierarchy. And that's a problem for people.
Imagine they went the other way, and instead of making nothing beautiful, they made everything beautiful.
It's why when we talked about other cultures being superior to other mm-hmm. cultures, some cultures being superior to others, people were upset by that and called us racist. It's because it's hard for a postmodern society to accept that there are hierarchies. could you imagine an American community, like an American community, allowing cannibalism?
Yes, I can.
What do you mean?
What do you mean? They're eating the cats. They're eating the dogs.
So that's
people,
not cannibalism.
People are next.
What I'm saying is, like, can you imagine, like, an American, natural, no external influences, within itself, this community has decided we're going to eat each other. Like, that's just it's unthinkable.
I can actually imagine it. Maybe I'm more maybe. maybe my sick and twisted mind, I'm more disturbed than you. But
sure.
It would not surprise me if somewhere in Montana there's just a group of people eating each other.
Fair enough.
They did it in The Last of Us TV show and game.
Yes. Okay, let me put it this way then. Imagine people in Melbourne, Florida just decide like that. It's in civilized American society, it's unfathomable.
You keep proposing reasonable things. Of course, people in Florida would eat each other. Maniacs.
That guy on bath salts that everyone thought was the zombie apocalypse starting.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
Oh, man. So like a civilized suburban society is not going to start eating each other.
Correct.
But an uncivilized Haitian society did start eating each other. And so like you have to say, otherwise it's a crazy thing, that a civilized American culture is at least in some way superior
to
the culture where it's okay to eat a human being. Right. It has to be true. Like otherwise it's insane. And so like if we start there, we admit that culture is in some way eating people is bad. Then there are things in cultures that make some cultures superior to others. And it might not even be a linear like top tier. Like all the way up and down, it's like in this area, this culture is better. In this area, the same culture is worse than the other one, you know. But at the very least, a culture that does not allow cannibalism is better than one that does. Perhaps that's where we can start.
I agree with that.
Yeah, and so, there are natural hierarchies of goodness, of beauty, and truth. But the problem is with what people colloquially call wokeism, which is actually postmodernism.
Mm-hmm.
It's just pop postmodernism. It's a destruction of hierarchy. It's an elimination of hierarchy. And so that's what that people get upset because they're sort of postmodern. Toivo does listen to this podcast. And every time I talk about this kind of thing, I'm like, I'm going to get a text correcting me that I'm wrong. Cause one time I attributed something to a philosopher that he actually said in class, and he texted me. He was like, that wasn't the philosopher, that was me, but awesome.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
I would love it if Toivo texted me and corrected me. I would actually really enjoy
Toivo,
that.
Toivo, I will give you Ethan's number if you want it.
Thanks, man. It is Saturday. I'm about to watch some college football. I got the K-State polo on. As some of you know, my love for college football is another indication of my further swing to the right that you might have noticed on the podcast. One of the other things that's more right wing about me lately is that I really, really hate censorship. I really don't like big tech using their monopoly over the technology that we use every day, silencing people that frankly say things that are true about the Catholic Church, about Catholic social teaching. There's a lot of repression about the truth that's going on out there in big tech land. That's why our sponsor, Patmost Hosting Solutions, is one of the best sponsors we've ever had because I think they're actually doing something of value. Our website is hosted on Patmost. They are our island of refuge from big tech. That's one of the things that they say. They provide a few different things: top-notch web and app development services, hosting, AI GPU services, and they're all backed. This is the thing I really like about them: no censorship guarantee. So even if they completely disagreed with you, they would still host you. They would still put you out on the web. They would make sure you don't get deplatformed because they agree that you should be allowed to say what you want to say, right? You should not be censored because of ideological differences. I say a lot of things on this podcast that maybe would get me canceled otherwise, but Patmos, because I'm not worried about that, they always take care of me, which is really, really nice. I have my own person to talk to. I could talk to Camila anytime I have an issue or a question about what's going with Patmos, and they never offshore or sub out any of their work. There's just no better value in tech. So if you are looking to build an app or website or host a current site, or you know someone who's looking to do any of these things, go to patmos.tech. They can help out businesses or missions. So if you're in the church world, they can help you no matter what size you are. There's no cost amount that is the minimum threshold. They want to help everybody who wants this type of service with the great value that they provide. Let's see the last thing here. Oh, I didn't include this in some of the other ads. You get 10% off your next web project or free hosting migration if you tell them The Crunch sent you. That's 10% off. We need to go back and we need to update. So I'm going to say this a lot more. 10% off if you tell them that The Crunch sent you. That's patmos.tech. Patmos, freedom as a service. Go to patmos.tech, tell them The Crunch sent you. Get 10% off for your favorite mission, organization, church, or business. That's patmos.tech. They keep us free. Thank you, Patmos, for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch. I think with the... You're making me think about something that I don't know if it's related, but we could go down this cul-de-sac. The insistence of the Harris Walls campaign on... food.
What do you mean?
This feels significant to me in some way. It feels like all of their campaign stuff that they post on social media is just them stopping for food.
Oh yeah, they
getting
love
snacks.
Yeah,
and I don't think I've ever seen Donald Trump eat a meal in his life. Like, if you think about it, you ever seen
Cinco de Mayo?
That's true. The taco bowls at Trump Tower are the best, and then the picture of him in front of all the burgers when the football team came to visit. But, like, you don't see him posting, like, we had a great day stopping to get some Taco Bell. They say it's good. I will get the... Can you imagine him saying Gordito Crunch?
Gordito Crunch.
Gordito Crunch. I'm just thinking it's very odd the denial of... it's. I don't know, but it's weird, right?
Oh,
so this is what I'm thinking about.
It's Tim Walz, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
And Walz has to do this weird, like, humiliation thing where he is like, I'm not as ethnic as you, Kamala, so I don't know. What spicy food? What is that? Salt is too spicy for me.
Well, that's what I was going to bring up, is that you're talking about the wokeism destroying hierarchy. But then when it comes to food, ethnic food is better than European food.
Think about the recipes, that meme, yeah.
Yeah, think about the recipes or think about the spices. It's really interesting that there are some, like, hierarchy still exists. It's just this, like, warped and, like, I don't know. It's hard to square that circle in my mind where you're
it's not a hierarchy. It's
It is. They tell me that my cheeseburger isn't as good as their poke bowl. It's why people go get boba tea, is because they want to feel like they're cool. It's an aesthetic thing. Nobody goes to boba tea because they like it. No one likes sucking those bubbles down the straw and hawking them into the back of your throat like a soggy Whopper.
Almost choking on them, at
the bottom of a cup of Sprite. This is absolutely disgusting behavior. If you go to boba tea, we can't talk. Cigarette, espresso. Those are the two things you're allowed to have in the morning. I hate boba tea, dude. Anyway, explain that to me, because it feels like there's hierarchies about some things, like food or like hairstyles or like music, right? Like, why would you listen to Neil Diamond and, you know, when you could listen to Megan Thee Stallion?
two responses to that. One, I don't think they're trying to create a hierarchy. I think they're trying to level the playing field. So they're trying to overcompensate. Hmm. So like, oh, this thing that's been denounced, let's lift it up. Let's pretend it's something it's not. Let's pretend Indian food is good. It's not good.
Yeah. Hey, well, I'm with you.
It's not. Let's pretend it's good. Let's pretend poke bowls and Chinese food are good on their own and not because of American intervention. Let's pretend these cultures stand on their own. It's not. They're trying to elevate. Let's pretend this man dressed as a woman is beautiful. It's elevating what's not the case to try and eliminate. I think that's one thing. The other thing is, and this actually is from a philosopher, I remember this. Bruno Latour talks about the separation of nature and society is impossible to do, but it's a modern desire to separate nature from society. And the more you try and separate nature and society, the more hybrids you actually make. So it's like the high nature and society are intertwined, and they always will be. Like, what a human being invents and what is real and in reality are the same thing. Like, it actually does mean something when we say, like, that's a camel. Like, that actually does mean something. We create meaning with that. Ignoring, pretending that doesn't exist makes more of these hybrids happen. I'm not explaining this very well, but I'll try and put it in a simpler term because I don't really understand it very much. But the by trying to get rid of something that's natural, like hierarchies, you inadvertently create more of them. It's like cascading interventions in hospitals, where like one thing leads to another thing leads to another thing, and you know, an epidural leads to a C-section, you know, like that sort of thing. Or like intervention in nature, like the dam leads to the salmon can't swim upstream, so we have to build a salmon ladder, which, you know, poisons the this, and now the sand, you know,
and then the fish have to do a ninja warrior course to get up the thing,
and then the bears don't have access to the salmon anymore, so you have
and
to like
there's a spider jump and a warped wall, and they have to go, and then they have to climb
exactly
the rope. It's tough.
And so the more you try to pretend that hierarchy doesn't exist, the more hierarchy is actually able to be built. And the problem is, at the same time, we're pretending like the hierarchies aren't there, but they are.
It feels like we're just dancing. It feels like a lot of words to describe the same reality, which is basically like, call it postmodern, maybe even call it post-postmodern, where it's instead of, I don't think what people are doing, I appreciate your charitable interpretation of people simply trying to elevate that which was denigrated to the status of equal. I think people are just actively saying things that are worse are better now. I think that's just where people are. It's an inverse hierarchy, not so much like just a changed hierarchy. It's like actually the opposite in some way.
They're trying to get rid of hierarchies, and the way they're trying to get rid of hierarchies is by saying the thing at the bottom is actually the best.
Right. Which is still a hierarchy. It's just like flipped upside down.
But you're not allowed to say that it is.
But they do. People do just say objectively, or it's on the example of food, like the way that, or, you know, Asian food or African food or whatever is better than American food or Central European food. They'll just say that. And people believe that. People believe that it's better to be a woman than it is to be a man. People believe that it's better to be, I'm not saying women are worse than men. That's not what I'm trying to say. Or people say it's better to be trans than it is not to be trans. People say it's better to kill yourself than it is to live in a world that, you know, you can't survive in because of the economy or climate change or whatever, you know, like people are just taking things and they're just completely flipping them.
Well, so they see a hierarchy and they flip it, and then if you try to flip it back, it's wrong. So, like, it's oppressor oppressed language. This is what it is. It's oppressor oppressed language.
So where it's communism.
Yeah, it's that distinction, and so like it's better to be, because it's bad to be the oppressor. So if you're the oppressed, that means that you're winning because you get to be the one that's not wrong. You know, as long as you're not oppressing someone, then. You know, it's like that definition of racism where it's like, oh, racism is when a group with more a member of a group with more social standing is prejudiced against someone, a member of a group with less social standing. And it's like that feels silly, you know, that just we can come up with situations where, you know, it's does it have to be someone with high, like can a billionaire black woman be racist to her Mexican male lawn care guy? Like, is that allowed under that definition? It's like, as long as you're not an oppressor, as long as you cast yourself as the oppressed, you can't be the oppressor. And so that it's a race to the bottom where, like, woe to those who call evil good, that sort of thing.
Oh, that's good.
Hey, that's
like
from
that.
Isaiah.
Is that in Isaiah?
Isaiah. Yeah.
Look at you.
Hey, it's working, everybody. Look at that.
All right. That's it for me on this podcast.
Oh yeah, really?
I gotta hang it up. Well, we gotta do the dating corner.
Yeah, and we gotta do the dating corner. We're only 40 minutes in.
Yeah, that's the end.
That's all I can give. Good night, everybody.
I mean, I can give a little bit more, but it won't be anything good, you know.
Sure.
Like, what am I? But the oppressed. You oppressed me, I think.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You make me feel dumb, and it's your fault.
Oh, no, really?
No, well, sometimes. But I don't actually care. I like being dumb. It makes me more powerful. You know?
Because of the oppressor-oppressed language.
Exactly.
Precisely.
I can actually take my victimhood and turn around on you. And then I can make fun of you for all your degrees.
And it's punching up.
Yes. Oh, I like this podcast again.
All right, sweet. Well, folks, thanks for being here. If you like being oppressed, join our Patreon. That's patreon.com/thecrunch. We got a lot of good stuff there. Bonus podcast. Not this week, apparently. But sometimes. Yep. Most of the time, there's a bonus podcast. We've been having babies. All right, give us a break.
We've been babies. We've been traveling. We got to get back on the horse. Ben Eastman just said something too. He's like, man, you guys have been, you've gotten like 88 episodes in a row without missing, and then we miss like 3 weeks. Ben, you shouldn't have said anything.
It is crazy. We've gone almost a full 2 years.
Full term.
Yeah. Anyway. All right, cool. Bye, everybody. Thanks to our sponsors.
I thought we would do a little bit more of the outro, but I guess we'll close it out. No, okay. This is good. We're at the end. You've lost all of your aura. Have I said this?
Yeah, you did already. I think it's because I don't have a haircut and my haircut's a mess.
I thought you would power back up, and I thought for a second this shirt would be aura. If that shirt didn't say Ike Ndolo on the front, you'd be back.
You think so? You don't like my Ike shirt?
I don't like it when people sell shirts.
We sold a shirt today, actually.
We did?
Yeah, we did.
To who?
We bought this shirt with Crunch money.
What?
Yes.
Cut it in half and send mine to me.
I bought this shirt with our money.
I want the neck and the armholes, and then you can just have a tube of cloth that will go around your midsection. Yeah.
Oh man. It is funny now, we did like an anti-woke podcast and I was wearing Ike's shirt. All right, bye everybody. Bye everybody.
We'll see you on the next show. Thank you all for listening. Please pray for us. We'll be praying for you. See you all next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.